wake up, y'all. This is Black Thought, the boss DJ from around the way. And you're listening to WAKE Radio. Fresh from your room. From Marvin Gaye to Hathaway. From Nina Simone to Pendergrass. We pay tribute to the legends of the past. And the legends of the future. Special big up to my man Johnny Stevens. He shares his passion with us every day.
Wake up, everybody, no more sleeping in bed. No more back to thinking, time for thinking ahead. The world has changed so very much from what it used to be. There is so much hatred, war and poverty. Oh, yeah.
Wake up all the teachers, time to teach a new way. Maybe then they'll listen to what you have to say. Cause they're the ones who's coming up and the world is in their hands. When you teach the children, teach them the very best you can.
Let it be.
Oh no,
the world won't get no better. We gotta change again, just you and me.
Wake up all the doctors, make the old people well. They're the ones who suffer and who catch all the
hate.
He'll have so very long before their judgment day. So won't you make them happy before they pass away? Oh yeah.
Wake up all the builders, time to build a new land. I know we can do it if we all have a hand. The only thing we have to do is put it in our minds. Surely things will work.
Just for the breath of life, I thank my maker. My mom say I come from hustlers and shakers. My mom building on skyscrapers and acres. He said, take us back to where we belong. I try to write a song as sweet as the Psalms. Though I'm the type to bear arms and wear my heart on my sleeve. Even when I fell in God, I believe. Read the days and weave through the maze. And the seasons so amazing. Feed them and raise them. Seasons are aging. Earthquakes, wars, and rumors. I want us to survive, but we more than consumers. We more than shooters. More than looters, created in this image, so God lived through us. And even in this generation, living through computers, only love can reboot us.
Come on. Oh, wake up, everybody, no more sleeping in bed.
Oh, wake up, everybody, yeah.
I said I need a little help, girl.
Take a look. Oh, I need a little help, girl. Come on.
Yeah, good morning, everybody. Shout out to my grandson, Terrell, 16-year-old, who chose that song for me, coming from a teenager's perspective. This show, We Do Recover, is the title of the show, and I'm your host, Boyd, James Boyd. You all I hope remember me from WRNR radio as 008 and a half. It's because I do extra. Wake up, everybody. I'm going to be talking a little bit about recovery and recidivism and the things that lead us down into that dark abyss of heroin and substance abuse and addiction. That's the quality of this show. And it's my hope that we can, as a community, as a nation, get some forward progress in how we're viewing this, what is subtitled now, a disease, addiction, heroin addiction, a lot of deaths over the years. And so, but before I get started here on Enlightened Radio, I would like to qualify myself. I would like to qualify myself as someone who can speak to this issue. And like I said, my name is James Boyd. I hail to the Eastern Panhandle some 14 years ago by way of Newark, New Jersey, which is where my substance abuse began at the age of 14. For those of you who are just tuning in, my name is James Boyd, and I'm qualifying myself as someone who can speak to the position of recovery from substance abuse. Wake Up, Everybody is the opening song sung by John Legend. So that's going to be my theme song for a few weeks to come whenever you tune in to listen to this show. And I'm going to kind of unwrap that idea that the songwriter with Wake Up, Everybody wanted to convey to its listeners. And my grandson gets it, and I get it, and hopefully you will get it. The show is about long-term recovery from addiction, period, but especially heroin addiction, about hearing the struggles of those addicted and building bridges that are pathways to long-term sobriety. The opening lyrics of the show, like I said, is by John Legend, Teddy Pendergrass, Harold Melvin and the Blue Notes, I hope you like it, and a host of others. My heroin addiction started at age 14 in Newark, New Jersey. It was out of curiosity, and I'm not going to say peer pressure, because we were just a band of teenagers in the streets of Newark, trying something new and trying to fit in and trying to be a part of. I had a pretty good childhood coming up. Heroin came into my life at age 14, and I didn't stop using heroin intravenously until I was 45 years old. You do the math. 66-year-old male now, living a pretty good sober life. I have over 8,000 days clean and sober, so I think I qualify just a bit to speak to you about addiction and recovery. And what I'd like to do now is just talk for this next few minutes about my story. And that is going to be the gist of this broadcast this morning. Talking about me and how I qualify. I started shooting heroin, like I said, at age 14. Didn't stop till I was 45. I was in and out of rehab several times. I'm a Vietnam veteran. My addiction carried its way, found its way into my life. And while I spent time in Vietnam, and even after I came home, I continued to use. There are many, many, many stories. Like I say, I have over 8,000 days clean and sober, over 30 years heroin addiction, all in the streets of New York, Baltimore, Philadelphia, Virginia. You name it, I think I've been there, either in a rehab or in prison. So I think I qualify. And I'm not unique. There are many of us. You know, one of the things that I found about myself and my journey is that by me being a Vietnam veteran, I would go to the VA hospital whenever I was sick and tired. I thought of being sick and tired. A little cliche, I know, but that was what was going on. I would go into the VA because they have several programs for veterans that as long as you have a discharge date of your last visit to the VA was longer than, I believe at the time, was 60 days, 60 or 90 days. So that gave me an opportunity, like a lot of us veterans do. We go in for oil change, is what I like to call it. We go into the VA hospital in the winter, and we come out in the summer, continue our use. you go in the winter and you go through the detox programs and you do everything that they tell you to do, but your main objective is to stay warm during the winter and to get out and use more dope in the summer and then go back in the winter. And I did this over and over and over again for somewhere around 30 years, basically, in and out of prisons. Lost family, lost my children, my child. I have one biological son that was taken from me years ago, even though he and I have reconciled. Love you, son, if you're listening in. Anyway, so here we go with the heroin addiction and the recidivism. So I could stop, but the problem was, how do you stay stopped? Well, here I am to try and unwrap my journey to give you a feel for how I came about my long-term sobriety, and hopefully maybe something I can say or something that I did on this journey that you can gravitate to and claim as your own and maybe use it in your recovery. So wake up, everybody. No more sleeping in bed. You know, one of the things that we have here in the Eastern Panhandle and across this nation, actually, is the idea that, you know, you can just stop. You can just quit it. You can just change directions. Well, there's a lot of medical evidence that shows that that's not the truth when you inject this mind and mood altering substance into your body. Things happen. And one of the questions that I have about myself was, at age 14, when I first injected heroin, did it create an opportunity for a diminished capacity to creep and find its way into my life? So that means that my capacity to make true and honest decisions became more and more diminished the more I used this substance. And I used it for over 30 years. So diminished is kind of an understatement. And so that's why I believe that it has gotten to the point where those who the policymakers are really seeing the light now. They know that this is a disease. This is a disease. And however you got the disease into your life, however you came to that place where you started down the long tunnel of diminished capacity, it doesn't matter. The fact of the matter is that they have decided, and I can honestly concur, that heroin addiction is a disease, and your capacity to decide the things in your life that are conducive to moving ahead or going forward has something to do with your body chemistry. They talk a lot about endorphins and other things in your brain chemistry, that the things that happen to cause you to want to continue to use these mind and mood altering substances. And those are the things that they've been overlooking for years and years and years. Or they were calling it a moral character defect as to why people would go out and steal and rob and cheat and do all manners of horrific things to obtain this substance. It's just your moral character. But we're finding out in this country that that's not true. It has something to do with the disease of addiction. And so I just stopped by. I want you to tune in to my radio show as we delve into this. I want to invite all of those who are able to take the time to listen, to tune into the show, the podcast, and the pathway to our show, to our listeners and people who are just interested in knowing the truth and getting some other ideas about how to get into long-term recovery. Just tune in and call in. I'm going to have the numbers and everything is going to be available. I'm going to make it as easy as pie, or as easy as peasy, as my grandparents used to say, for you to access this information. And call in and give me your outlook. I believe in having choices. And one of the choices that I made to stay stopped, you know, I could stop. You know, I could stop. I could go into rehab and get the detox going and get the programs and follow the steps and sit and listen. And, you know, and so most of the time I was just sitting on the premises waiting until my discharge date so I could pick up again. How do you stay stopped? Well, the answers are out there. The answers are within the people who have done it. And so my idea for anybody who is involved in trying to find out how to arrest this disease, how to eradicate it, I believe that we should look to the people who have done it. My portfolio contains a host of many of days of recovery time, many hours, many moments of recovery time. I had to come up with a system for myself to keep me in a place where I can say I'm clean and sober. And I can say that to you today. I'm of sound mind. My capacity to make healthy decisions has been reinvigorated. I do things today that I had no idea that I wanted to do years and years ago. And so that's why I believe that diminished capacity, when you inject these drugs into your system, this heroin, your capacity to make decisions becomes greatly diminished. And I think that might be a case for the courts to kind of look at. There are people who are sitting in prison right now. And here in the Eastern Panhandle where I live, it's almost as though they've come up with a word for people who are apathetic or people who want to turn a blind eye. They call them NIMBYs, N-I-M-B-Y, which is an acronym for not in my backyard. And that's in reference to rehab centers and treatment centers and detox centers. And the people who are the policymakers and the stakeholders in my county, which is Berkeley County, that seems to be the flavor of the policy holders and the policy makers. I think that they're leaning more towards handcuffs, not help, instead of the opposite, help, not handcuffs. You get this disease of addiction. They put you in a place where the disease gets worse, and then they punish you for not getting better. And I believe that the opposite of addiction is not total abstinence. The opposite of addiction is community connections. Let me reiterate that, John. Community connections is something that we really need to gravitate to and just get on one accord. The song, the opening song, Wake Up Everybody, and John Legend sings it, No More Sleeping in Bed. And it talks about what we need to do as a nation to get people prepared to kind of look out for our children, to, you know, just look at treating this addiction a different way. You know, I because I'm in the Eastern Panhandle, and as you know, we do a lot of things with guns down here, and they do a lot of things with sighted rifles. And so if you're out hunting your deer, all you hunters, and you take the scope on your rifle and you turn it around backwards and you aim at that deer. Now, I've never tried this, but I would believe that you're not going to hit that deer. It's because you got the scope turned around backwards. And that seems to be the way that they're approaching this treatment for addicts. They, like they say, they lock you up, put you in a place where your disease is exacerbated, it's made worse. And then when you get out of incarceration or your rehab center, they punish you for not getting better. There seems to be too many barriers. There's too many opportunities to fail. And we're not, as a society, willing to kind of get rid of those opportunities for failure. You know, there's a lot of commentary about, oh, yeah, you say it's a disease. I say it's moral character flaws. People can just stop if they want to. But the truth of the matter is they're not stopping. So those words that you use about how to get people off the streets and into recovery don't hold water. We have to take another look at it and approach it another way. So at this time, I'm going to go ahead and tell you a little bit more about my story and how I came to this place. One of the first things after, in 1994, I believe it was, one of the first things I came out of a rehab center and I got some responsibility from somebody in my community. It was a pastor. I was looking for a sponsor. And he said, I can't be your sponsor, but I'll be your spiritual advisor. And so I took to that because I knew that I needed something. I needed some kind of guidance. And so that's the pathway I took. And he gave me some responsibility in the church. And every time the church doors opened, I was there. And so that was my meeting. That's what I did, my 30 on 30, as we call it in the rooms in the sober community, 90 on 90. You know, but I wasn't receiving any key change or anything like that. I was just receiving more responsibility. And so that is one of the major things that got me started, getting that responsibility and seeing the looks on people's faces when I completed something and, you know, they invited me back. When I was actively using it, people in my community, even my family, saw me coming. They would start to whisper about, here he comes, you better close your pocketbook, you know, you better lock your car door. That kind of treatment from people is something that I believe that I did to myself. I was teaching them how to treat me by the way I was treating them. And when I started getting the responsibility, and he piled it on and on and on and on and on, and so my life has taken such a great turn away from the recidivism. And by the way, I was arrested in my 30 years of active addiction more than 12 times. I have a number of felonies. I'll talk about those at a later date because I don't want to give it all away on my first show. But I just want to say that I'm excited to have this platform. There are many, many issues that can be discussed and shared. I mean, I just love the World Wide Web. The World Wide Web gives me an opportunity to reach people who are suffering from addiction all over the globe. And I really am inspired to be able to offer this because I do have something to say. I do have some experience in the area of addiction and in the area of recovery. I'm not a writer of books. I don't have any theological experience to my knowledge, that's documented or anything, but I do have life experience. One of the things in the Eastern Panhandle is once you get people to stop, how do you get them to stay stopped? Once you get them into rehab, after rehab, then what? You can get people to get over the hump, but once they get over the hump, there needs to be something over there. And so that is the aim of this show. We do recover with Enlightened Radio. Just tune in and talk to us and call us and give us your suggestions, your ideas. What is it that your community can use? And one of the things that I promote as an advocate is that I ask the addicts, or I ask those who are suffering. A lot of people don't like that word, addict. I don't know. I don't have a problem with it. Right now I'm addicted to happiness by the mere fact that, you know, I came out of the gutter of heroin addiction. And now I'm coming to you live on a radio podcast as an individual who has over 8,000 days clean and sober. In my community, I'm involved with several groups, and I'd like to shout out to the Hope Dealers, Lisa, Tina, and Tara, and the other young lady. Forgive me, I forget your name. They're all part of a group in Martinsburg that help a lot of people. You have the Bikers of Heroin. That's another group in the Eastern Panhandle. You have the Healthcare Advocates for Recovery Resources, the HEART, which are located at WVU Hospital Medical Center in Martinsburg. They're doing great work. The Advocates for Change, they're doing great work. Shout out to Jenny Vinson, who shined the spotlight. She's a newspaper reporter that worked for the journal. Hi, Jenny. That started shining the spotlight on heroin addiction. And she got a lot of pushback. But a lot of times the untruth will always push back at the truth. But sooner or later, you know, you have to come around. And I'm finding that it's sad to say that a lot of people will not come around to the idea of help, not handcuffs, until it's their child or their loved one, their husband, their niece, their granddaughter, who's lying dead in some morgue from overdosing from heroin, or someone has, you know, gets a life sentence in prison for peddling heroin, selling heroin. And this is happening all over our country. It turns out that the conversations that we can have are somewhat economical, by the way. You know, we can talk about the economic side. Just call me in, give me your ideas. Wake up, everybody. We're talking about the senators and the congressmen, the judges. Oh, by the way, Kimberly Crockett for judge. I want you to vote and get out and vote. We're going to be talking about that on some of the upcoming shows. But there's a lot of resources out here that we can use, but we have to do this thing collectively. One of the things that I bring to the table is the fact that I've been there, done that, and I'm back. I'm back. We do recover, and I stand as a witness to that. And, you know, statistics say that, if you believe those statistics, that I'm supposed to be either in jail or dead. But I know who is who's sovereign, and I know who's provident in all matters. So that's kind of how I live my life right now. With that, I think I'm going to go ahead and sign off right now, John. Thank you so much.